upon thy word, speak to Father, and find those truths in the lives of sinners. Dear Father, thank you for this day and the blessings you have given us, both around and on yourself. Well, Father, as all spiritual blessings that through your Son Jesus have come on this earth, do thy will, suffer and death upon the cross, and we will pray, Father, that just as we put that down to manage, that this foremost dance, that the sacrifice, and the manner that you so deserve, thank you for that. Pray, Father, that this very night,
Hebrews 11, we read the first seven verses last week, and we did not get through the first seven verses last week. We got through a few verses, and so we're going to pick up where we left off last week and continue on in our study. Probably verse 4 on is what we'll go ahead and start with tonight. And James, why don't you just read 4 through 7 quickly? Gave them a good testimony. The fact that what they did pleased him. How do we know that? But that's it. He told them. He told, he accepted Abel's offering, and of course he took Enoch up to heaven. And there's the evidence. So those are two people that we know without a doubt God was pleased with them. How do we know God is pleased with us? Abel was doing things, okay, by faith. Enoch lived by faith. And because of that, they pleased God. And of course, we're saying, okay, we're walking by faith. How can we have the same assurance that we're pleasing Him? And the only assurance that we can have is what they have. See, there's no advantage here. When we talk about these great men of faith, we think, oh man, those guys, they're different from you and me. Are they really? I mean, they're like you and I in that respect. We might say, well, Chuck, I don't know if I could have had the faith like Noah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that these were humans like you and I and faced the same temptations as you and I. These are not super godly men in the sense where none of us can be like them. That's the point I'm trying to get across. We can be like these guys. And the only way that we can have the confidence of knowing that God is pleased with us is, as you guys already read, is to walk by faith. Have that confidence. People want to plant that seed that we can't really know, and that was my sermon last Sunday evening. But the fact of the matter is, we can know. How is it that though Cain is dead, he still speaks? Talk about it now. Yeah? Somebody very quickly. That way we're going to do the reading tonight. Revelation 14, 13. Somebody, whoever gets there first, just read it. Revelation 14, verse 13. And their works follow them. I love that statement. For you and I, if we die, will our life continue to speak? Speak, obviously we're dead, but you're right, what we've done while we were alive. Mark?
Well, I mean, people live on this world as a God believes in space, young God is a thousand years, but you might have been a little bit hard to get inside of God.
Right, exactly right. I mean, there have been a lot of godly men and women that you and I know that have gone on. I don't know about them. I know some godly people that have died. You don't know about them. And although their lives still speak to me. And so in that respect, it does touch those who you know, as you were mentioning. And that's important because we talk about the next generation, the people that we have an effect on. Can you think of people that have had an effect on your life that are no longer living? So that's the point. And we're mindful of that, how that we can touch other people's lives. And you often hear a lot about this during a funeral. He talked about Enoch, of course, again, the testimony that God took him out, and how that it's impossible to please Him without that. I like that he mentions here that he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those diligent to seek Him. You guys remember the sermon Sunday morning, is atheism an option? I've been dealing more with this brother who's going that way, and another brother that I know who's strong, who's been studying with him. We've been corresponding, and he's basically saying, Chuck, what can we do to help this person? He questions everything, and he sent me the dialogue. The guy doesn't mind because we're all close. We all know each other, and I am to go and study with him when I get back. But here's the problem, and this identifies it in verse 6. When you have somebody that keeps saying, well, I don't understand how God could tolerate all those killings back in the Old Testament. I don't understand how God could punish anybody and send them to hell. And I don't understand. What's the problem with that? When you're constantly questioning God. It doesn't increase, Mark. That's it. And did you get a point? Diane? That's the issue. I told him, I said, why are you getting into a Bible conversation with this? He says, when I see him, I'm not talking about him. Because he's putting you on the defense all the time. Putting you on the defense. Well, I can't understand. Why does God do this? Why did He do that? And why did He allow that? And why did you keep going on and on and on? Where you don't really have a definitive answer. You can have an answer from a faith standpoint. But it all starts with God. And if you don't believe in God, this falls. I'm telling you right now. So start back, okay? Are you implying that there is no... I mean, if that's true, then this is unreliable, and my point is there even a God? So let's get back and establish that point, Mark.
Well, I think I would have thought that the question I have to given us science and mathematics to help us pray to be able to accomplish the things on the earth using the rules and the laws of the program. If you try to turn the microscope on the water, you're not going to find him.
You're not going to find him there, but you can find him, which was last week's study, right? Verse 1. Because this verse says, you must believe that he is. Stop right there. Well, I don't really believe that he is. Well, then forget about it. I mean, you're not even, to even talk faith, forget it. To talk scripture, forget about it. We're going to talk about the fact that God is, and there's evidence, overwhelming evidence, which we talked about some more, which I can't wait to sit down and talk with this brother who's being influenced by this garbage. And by the way, it's nothing new. Because Debbie was telling me, she says, Chuck, is this anything different? You know, you guys may know that her brother, who used to preach, and I learned to preach before I started preaching with him, became an atheist. Okay. Well, he kind of wrote a whole book about all the problems with the Bible. I've got books in my library that are thicker than that talks about alleged discrepancies in the difference of the Bible. Folks, people, this is nothing new is my point. This is nothing new. But this is what happens when people don't build a foundation on the fact that God is. I'm telling you right now, if you waver on the fact that God is, you need to go back and study some fundamentals again and get that foundation. Okay? Well, but again, we're saying we have to go look at the evidence of God's existence is the point. The idea that I'm mindless and I'm the one that believes in something. Oh, yeah. Why did God do this? And why did he do that? Oh, I guess I'm a mindless airhead because I don't question that. Why is it that I don't question that? Is it because I don't want to find out answers? I'm afraid of a challenge? No, not at all. But when you don't walk by faith and you don't trust in God that his decisions are wiser than mine, he thinks better than I do, his ways are higher than my ways, his thinking is, who am I to question it? That doesn't mean we can't find answers. I believe there are answers to those questions. But you know when Debbie's brother wrote that book, that said they killed three preachers in Canada, and they divided that book up into three different chapters, and each preacher dealt with every question. Every question. For the sake of the Christians, because it was upsetting a lot of Christians. They answered every question. He looked at that and said, John. Because you answered him by a standpoint of the scriptures when he doesn't believe in God. You're wasting your time. Now, when a person's going to be receptive to the idea of, I'm open-minded, I believe there's a God, I believe this is the inspired word of God, and I've got some questions about it. Let's go. But you got to get there first. He is establishing where faith comes from. Mark.
Well, I don't know. God's already told us to believe the salvation of God is God. So, if you
can't, and that's why we're saying that if a person doesn't believe in God, I'm saying every person who doesn't believe in God is not a fool, but he will become a fool if he doesn't consider. You can have questions. And there have been a lot of people I have talked to who didn't believe in God who now believe in God. Warren?
Well, it's having a question to say that there's so much we do.
That's it.
It's not possible.
And their idea is, since you can't fully understand it, then why do you believe it? And that's just ridiculous for a lot of reasons, which I don't want to get into. Nancy. We're about to get into talking about Abraham and some of these other great men of faith. They didn't see it. And we're actually going to read where these people die without receiving the promise. And my thing is, if you die without receiving the promise, how can you say you had a promise? Well, because the promise wasn't conditional upon you seeing it before you died. Mallory? remember what we're not talking about here tonight, because we had a visitor come in here, and I know all you guys, if we have a visitor come in here, we're not suggesting in the least bit, believe it, don't understand it, don't try to understand it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you don't build on a faith, on a solid foundation, you're not going to find it. And you're going to teach yourself out of being a Christian and become lost because of a lack of faith. And we need to know where it comes from and where it doesn't come from. And this person is getting sucked into the idea that they think they know where our faith is coming, where our faith comes from. And they're saying, well, Chuck, I know where your faith comes from, and that's where mine was, and I evaluated it, and it's no good. No. No. You have lost sight. Okay, I know I'm getting sidetracked, but again, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the key. When we talk about faith, we're not talking about a little bit of faith, and that's what happens here. You know, a lot of his family are saying, well, Chuck, what happened was, he had four little children right back together, all boys, and one time he was up leading songs, the kids would give him mom a fit, and he decided, I'm not going to do anything publicly anymore, and he started doing less and less and less studying, less attending. Pattern. And you start drifting. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to get stronger? Now, I understand that. I understand the struggles that are there, but I'm saying that to you guys to let you know that there's a reason why this happened. You don't have to necessarily worry about waking up tomorrow morning. So what if I wake up tomorrow morning and I think there's no God? It's not going to happen. You may have doubts, and you don't deal with those doubts, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah, you can end up that way. My point is, by not seeking God. Mark.
Well, I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, is it is where it talks about God's.
First Thessalonians, Yeah, and you're right, Mark. Listen, if you want to believe a lie, God will send a strong delusion to believe a lie, whatever you want to believe. And that's why I'm trying to help my friend here while he's trying to help this guy. Don't you lose your faith trying to help him, because I'm trying to get him to understand that he's only questioning where Mallory came from. It's easy to sit there and go, well, why this? And why that? And why this? And why that? You see, they're never on the defense. Excuse me, but I've always said, if you got something better than this, give it to me. I'm serious. If there's something better than this, I'll gladly take it. Trey. Exactly. And it's going to tie right in with that thing. Man, put the verses in here. You know, it's all one complete paragraph. And he's going to go right in there talking about the unseen, what they didn't see, but they obtained it because they were looking for a heaven. It's all about heaven.
I was just going to say, too, I think that ties, you can also tie it into the word of unseen. There's a consequence for our actions, negative or positive. Of these guys doing what God asked them to do. Or also, in these same verses, seeing the consequences for people that didn't listen or heed their example.
Right.
In the same verses, Cain and Abel.
Yep.
Noah, what happened there?
Which prepares us, guys, that nothing shocks me. No, seriously, you know, when we think of people that we know, I can't. That's what happens. There's no surprise, like you're talking about. Those who have faith go this way. Those who lack faith go this way. What did you expect to happen? I expected to waver all my life, and I never knew why I didn't get stronger. It doesn't happen that way. If you diligently seek him, if you increase your faith, your goal is to please him, you want that reward of heaven that Trey just brought up, you're not going to lose focus. But that's what happens. You get caught up in this world, and all of a sudden, guess what? You're walking by sight, and you're not walking by faith. And he wants sighting.
Next, drifting away from having such a flashy run of faith,
And guys, I don't know if you could sit there and quickly, like, turn a button and go, let's turn and examine or analyze every sermon Chuck has preached over the last 5 years. There's a pattern of going back, reminding the fundamentals, going back, reminding, going ahead. Because if we forget this, the foundation stuff, we won't last. Because we've seen whole congregations just gone. I know congregations that were faithful at one time, just loose as a goose. Why? Because of the lack of teaching, what they've been wanting. And it was just more or less conversation and not, you know, there's the serendipity, not really getting into it. It is the things that you guys are thinking about right now and evaluating. What's he talking about? What got these people from it? How could Abraham spend 100 years in a place and consider himself, well, I'm sojourn. Man, you're home. 100 years? Buddy, you're home. No, I wasn't home. You know, this feels like home. I've been here 5 years. Man, if it's been 100 years here, where's home? And he didn't consider it home. And that's what we're about to get into. Did I see a hand here a moment ago? Seven was by faith, Noah being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. I want to talk about that, because that's you and me right there. That's one of those. How is it that Noah's actions condemned the world? Learning when they're saying Noah built an ark. What did Noah preach? Because he was a preacher, right? What did he preach? Yeah. Sinner. Ungodly. Turn to God. You're condemned. The mere fact that you're building an ark, you're not doing what we're doing. We're thinking evil continually. We're ungodly people. By your righteousness, you're making us look bad. Does that ever happen? Man, I'm dreading this Canada. Man, I'm dreading this Canada. I miss my mom, it's been 2 years, but it happens all the time. Because anytime you do something that's different than what they do, oh, you think you're better. No, I don't think I'm better. But I'm not going to apologize for not doing certain stuff. But it's going to happen. So you think we're not good enough. But I'll say this one. If I go to service and you stay home and you feel guilty about that, I'm not following. But the point is, that's what happened with Noah. That's what happens with godly people. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. And he ended up being crucified. And it wasn't for his lack of love or his tactfulness or his compassion. People say, well, Chuck, if you just be that way, you'd have less enemies. Maybe so. But Jesus didn't compromise. And they ended up killing. So guys, we learn what faith is and what faith is not, and we know that the pressure is out there for us to conform. And that's why 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, they're the ones who are saying they think it's strange that you do not run with them. Of course they're going to think that way. And so that's why when my friend emails me, well, here's our discussion, I say, well, of course he's going to say this stuff. When you don't believe in God, why wouldn't you question everything? I would. If I didn't believe in God, Why'd you do that? Oh yeah, that's exactly what I would do. So let's not be surprised about that. So that's the way they're going to react towards Noah. That's the way they're going to react towards you and I. And he says he became an heir of righteousness, which is according to you. What did Noah not see that it says in the first? Build an ark. No rain. Let's see it. And yet you're going to go out and build it. Who does that? your silence can get to you.
Right.
We have a mayor. There's a mayor in Toronto who conveniently goes to his cottage up north during the gay parade week. He's catching a lot of flack over. Well, I just need to get away. They want him marching. Okay. Now I'm not saying he's for it or against it. I'm just saying that you can't win. You really can't win when the world wants you to do certain things. And when we walk by faith, I'm telling you folks, those people who walk by faith get themselves in more trouble. You know, it's so easy to live in this world without faith. Easy, but not challenging. Because that's what I wrote my friend. I said, he's taking the easy way. It's easy to be an atheist. But it's hard to be an atheist if you're going to think. Yeah, my point was, he's taking the easy way up, but he's really not thinking. And that's what makes it different. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, why take the easy road that has destruction? I mean, that's what people want. So, we get through the first 7 verses. So let's get into good old Abraham here. Somebody has Genesis 12, 1 through 4. That'll help. What are we talking about here? Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. Let's read that quickly. I would like somebody quickly turn over to Genesis 25 because I want you to just read verse 7. 25, 7. So we'll read these passages back to back. So who's got 12, 1 through 4? Aaron.
Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, thy kindred, thy father's house, the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Great, thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and thee shall all counsel of the earth be blessed. And Abram did as departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, following with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed.
75 years old is when he departed. 25:7 says what? Now? 175. 100 years. Okay. Now, how many promises were given to Abraham then?
How many promises?
Okay, so the first one was, well, before that, you're going to have to become what? A great nation. When did that happen? After he died. It wasn't until they were in Egypt, guys. When they were in Egypt, they became this great nation. And when did they get the promised land? A long time after that, right? Through Joshua. Not through Moses. You know about that. And what about that third promise? When did that happen? When Jesus died, okay? Abraham around? Not physically, we know. We know he was alive. How do you know Abraham was alive? Which one? Where you go? Where's that now? Good job, man. Good job. There's a student of the word right there. She knows her Bible outside. Luke 16. Starts the first time. So just remember that now. I'll push it. I won't be here. Abraham. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. Okay? But he didn't get to see it. And that's what we're noticing in this reading that we're going to have. And we're up to you. No? Yeah, that's the same bro, right? Okay, Keith. If you'll just go ahead and read 8, 9, and Carrie can read 10 and 11 and 12.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of his way. He received a spirit. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he walked in the land of Moriah, entered a foreign country, dwelling in the camp of Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the land of the promise.
Okay, guys. You gotta love this. There's some key things here that I really like about the story of Abraham. So, what are some lessons that just jump out at you that you have to like about it?
Abraham
say about Abraham? What's that? Yeah, good as dead, man. Good as dead.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, but through faith, right? And look what came from that. I think that's what makes us a little different. Now, you guys see an apple seed. You guys don't see a tree. You guys see an orchard. You see, yeah, they're big. Nancy and then Mark. Now, who goes out not knowing where they're going? Don't let Aaron answer that one. So, all you have to say is a husband behind the wheel of the car. But that's the whole point. We say he doesn't know where he was going, but what was he looking for? What did it say he was going to look for? That's it. And so here he is. He waited for the city which has foundations, which we're talking about that heavenly place. He waited. How long did he wait? He waited out. When he was 75 years. And then he died at 175. He waited 100 years for that. How long have you guys been waiting to go to heaven? I don't know when you obeyed, but how long have you been waiting? Nancy, how long have you been waiting? You're running out of patience yet? You may have just got started, but others are going, man, I've been waiting 40 years for heaven. Well, when you get up around 100 years, let us know. Abraham didn't give up.
Higher. But that's the first 10. Actually, he's waiting longer than that.
Well,
I mean, first 10, if I understand this passage correctly, he was 14.
Yeah. And you know where he's at?
We're able to.
Exactly. But he never got to be a part of that. That's it. I mean, that's one of the great sermons of all time, talking about John the Baptist, as great as he was. Least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So none of those people prior to Jesus were ever in the kingdom, which ought to get us to value what we have. Now we sit back and talk, well, I wish I could have faith like Jesus has. And we have a lot of things that are better than we've studied in this book. No, we just need to stay focused, because what's he been trying to warn these brethren throughout the book? What's he warning them? Don't go back. Don't quit. In chapter 10, right? Don't give up now. And Abraham did. And you have to love that. And these are examples that are written for us, because that's how he's going to, right? That's how he's going to start chapter 12. I'm cheating a little ahead here. In chapter 12, he says in verse 1, therefore, after going through all those examples that we're yet to study, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Be like them. Learn from them. You want to know how to get there. That's what they tell you to do, guys. If you want to be a success at something, learn from somebody who's successful. Go to somebody with an answer who has the knowledge. You know, we're seeking lots of information. We got a building, you know. Hey, Doug, what are you going to do there? I don't know. Find those people who know what they're doing, okay? Get the right people to do the right job. And that's what we're talking about here. And so, you and I don't think you can have a better chapter if you're feeling down, you're fighting doubts, or you feel like you're growing weary. Read the 11th chapter. Get rejuvenated. Understand they can do it, we can do it.
And tie it back in the conversation for something better. Even Abraham was looking for the people. And got it. You got it. Here it is.
Is Abraham a poor man?
No, not my man.
Still looking. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in this world. And be happy. And be content. Lord, why don't we be content? But to have the things of this world, the danger with that is losing sight. And Abraham kept his eye. And it's a powerful lesson for all of us. Sarah herself. You know, there she was old. It's like, I can't give birth. You know what? It's like a lot of things, a lot of challenges that we have before us, seemingly. And I preached on this. You guys talked about it too. From God's perspective, it's like, you ever see
those airport or the helicopter showing the freeway with the cars, you're thinking, it looks so easy to move in and out. Down there, when you're going that fast, it looks like it's hard to do, but from a distance, it looks so easy. God, anything that he looks at in your life, isn't that big? I mean, just think of the biggest challenge you could have in your life. How big is that for God? What's that? And that's why we want to go and walk by him. That's what's going to get us through all of this. And that's what that great, good stuff. And then, of course, the last point, verse 12, was the idea that look what was at the beginning and look what was the outcome. More numerable than the stars. The sand, which is by the teacher. Just hard to imagine. And at the time, you're sitting there going, well, I can't see it. Did Moses see this, by the way? He didn't get to see it. He didn't get to see it. Why did he? Would that be a I was just testing
you. And it started dancing.
Good.
You're doing a good job.
There you go. Stay with me.
But isn't it the same thing, and I think that's what you're getting at, Chuck, is that he couldn't see it, but he could see it. We can't see it, but we can see it.
Yes, don't expect the non-Christian to see what you see. I mean, that's the whole point. And we go crazy when they can't see it. We get frustrated. We get angry. What do you expect them to see? You expect them to be understanding? You expect them to say, well, look, you've come all this way, and you're in a family reunion, and our families come from all over the country, and yet you're going to serve. Yeah. And you expect them to just like go, oh, okay. Well, right. Let's understand that. We're different people. We walk differently. We see things differently. Yeah. Pretty much. And again, don't let it surprise you. It'll discourage some people. And it's caused some people to lose their faith. They just get tired of it over and over again. I don't know. Could you just imagine how much ridicule Noah faced? I mean, when is it too much? When do you say to the Lord, that's it, that's the last straw? Put him up. When do you give up? No, and we have so much stress in our life, and there's so much bad that goes on. We all have those things going on. But we need to stop and breathe and come to class like this and just refocus and say, okay, yeah, I'm okay. I need that. Because there's so much out there that says, I'm saying that you are a Christian.
Mark? Well, it's like times like that.
And I'll tell you what helps me, Mark, is that, obviously, God, prayer, but there's something to be said of being around both of you who believe the same thing. I'm telling you, the Lord instituted the church for me. And being around brothers and sisters is to encourage each other. Isn't it interesting that we're in chapter 11 when he just talked about assembly? You know, we encourage stirring one another up into love. We need that positive reinforcement. I'm not alone. We know the prophet of old has thought that, right? I'm the only one left. You're not the only one. You think you're the only one left. You're not the only one. Or nobody knows what I'm going through. Excuse me. You know, if you take me off and you say, you may have some legitimate stresses in your life and you're all upset. And I want to be sympathetic, but if you utter those words, but nobody's going through what stop right there. Don't ever think nobody goes through parts that are tough. We all. Because we haven't had dozens like it that we're walking by faith. 13 through 16, day.
They would have an opportunity to learn. And now there's another look, guys, the thing that jumped out at me the most is verse 16. Better. Really, there's no heaven on earth. I know you guys probably been on vacations. I've been on vacations. And you might say, can it get any better than this? Oh, yeah. Way better. There's no heaven on earth. There really is. Heaven in heaven. That's where it is. And he describes here the kind of people that we need to be. These all died, and I love them. These all die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. These all die. I'm going to die. If the Lord doesn't come back, the point of the name wants to die, and then the judgment. These all die, but in heaven. Brethren who died, the Thessalonian brethren misunderstood what? What did they misunderstand? Paul had to write them. They were all upset about death. What was it? Their brothers had died. What did they say? You got to be alive when the Lord comes back. That's what their mind said. No, if you die in the Lord, that's the key to all of it. It's not saying, well, I died at one time I was baptized. Second, you don't die in faith. If you don't die being faithful to God, you have to go for it. And that's what these people did. They died in faith. And that's what keeps us going. Knowing that we're going to miss that reward. Not having received the promises, but having seen them. I love that. I mean, if there's one thing we can remember tonight, these guys didn't see what they saw. That's a cuckoo line for the world. They didn't see what they saw. Right? They saw what they didn't see. You either way. They both fit. And that describes you and I. But the point is, but they saw them afar off. I mean, they saw them from afar. They're not there. But when you see them, you know what that tells me? To them, it's real. Blind faith, guys. Now we're back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. People are thinking that when we bow our head, that we're just uttering words into the air. We actually believe God is listening. But seriously, we believe that God is paying attention to every word that we say. We believe that he's with. You don't work from. That's just what makes it different. We're going somewhere. We have a plan. More?
Okay. As good as the faith, what we have to have, it has to be. God showed us what to choose. You brought him out of this. I mean, you brought him out of Egypt. Look at all of those things. They saw. They witnessed what they did. I guess the Jews always had a problem. When I read this, it sounds like all these Jews didn't always be able to do it. God is wisdom. Teach them. I just have a real problem with it. You know what I'm saying?
It's true, but is there anybody here that can't identify with? Congregation was extremely weak. I can remember telling Debbie 3 years ago. I told Debbie one time, I said, you know what I'm getting tired of? Is trying to convert Christians. You shouldn't have to try to convert Christians. You should try to help Christians get strong. But man, if you're not converted, if there's no conviction, you don't believe in God, we need to go back. But that's a frustrating thing. If you teach and nobody wants to learn, but you're right, we can identify.
And I know we're out of time. But then you see
night and day.
It's night and day. And if you get your hair stand back up on that, you get excited for that.
Yeah. Okay, guys, now look. He's over there, but he's going to be here tonight. Next night. Okay. Mark. So, tell him we didn't finish 13 through 16. You were in the midst of it, okay? You can remind him of that. I'll remind him. Okay? But you guys can prepare and to come to help participate and just a lot of good stuff. There's no way I'm coming back and you're going to say, well, where's Jeff? No, no. What did you do? Hand up? No? You're good? Okay. Thank you.
Church in number 37. Earlier today, as well as throughout this week, has been very stressful, and we all each have those times in our lives where we feel overwhelmed, like everything's going wrong. But as I was looking for songs, I knew this would really encourage me. Number 37.
Angry words are left and never from the tongue of bridal slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, bless like the Savior. Children obey the Father's last command.
Verses that I studied before I got here this evening. I was thinking. reading of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31.
You know, we're talking about Hebrews chapter 11 getting us excited. I think these verses do too. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28, says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" Yeah, that doesn't get you excited. What does? You know, and as Andrew was getting up here and was discussing and talking about before leading the singing about, you know, life kind of gets you down sometimes and you get tired, you get frustrated, and maybe even at times you even get confused. You know, the reminder to us is this everlasting God who's got it and has done a plan and it's taken care of. Everything is done for us. And all we have to do is follow the plan. I mean, there's nothing from us that takes, oh, I got to have vision and figure out what this plan is. Or I need to have some type of mission to make sure I get. No, God's already given us the vision. He's already given us the mission. And now simply, we have to follow through. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so when life gets you down, I think sometimes it encompasses us so much because we think about tomorrow. We think about selling a house, buying a house. We got to move it back. And those things can, and my own doing, you're right, my own fault. And so how do we deal with those anxieties and how we deal with those problems really shows who we are as Christians and how we live. And let me explain that. Turn to Psalm 103. You know, the whole idea in all this is how we live. And so, are we consumed with the past? Are we consumed with the future? Or are we consumed in what we talked about this afternoon or this evening about us? Living eternity. And living day by day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember his blessings. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all the diseases. Do you understand there? All of our diseases are our problems. Repentance, the sin, the iniquity. That's what goes away. What's the sorrow? The sin in my life. And so repenting of that. And the blessing then of Christ, his blood washing that away. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Ready to fly. Ready to go because of our focus, our daily moment by moment focus, not on what lies behind, not the future and worried about that, but about this day that the Lord is in us. When you say that, how can you not think of Psalm 118, verses 20 and 24? This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What day has he made? This day. What am I focused on? You're not a Christian. You don't have that ability. You don't have that ability to give those iniquities to God. And you should be worried about it. And that's why you need to
tarnished. Maybe even broken.
He was in great position. That he was.
He was fine. Alright. Here's 17.
God.
Debbie and I leave Friday and go to Chicago to see my mom and come back next Friday. We're going Janet with Tim and Courtney Doe and Cole.
Let's try to remember everyone. We'll be at the Smith by heart. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so blessed to be able to come together, to come as a congregation, to try to encourage one another, to try to be edified and to lift each other's spirits so that when we leave from this place that we can be well-pleasing in your sight and that we can be an influence to the community around us and that we can try our best to spread your word, to answer questions, and if there's any uncertainties that we can find comfort by going to your word and try to seek out the truth. We know that through wisdom and through studying through the scriptures, through your word, that we can find these answers and we can find hope and peace. Help us to always to try to find time to glean some lessons from your word, to make applications and try to be better Christians each and every day. If there are times in our lives when we have sinned, please forgive us for our sins. Help us repent. Help us to make immediate action. For as it was mentioned, we do not know when the day of judgment will be here. Help us to be always on guard, be always watchful, and to always be ready whenever that time may be. Help us to try to spread your word and try to find ways to plant the seed to where other people are interested and be able to ask questions and to be willing to have Bible study. We ask you that we can do what we can as an individual basis as well as a congregation. We are so thankful and blessed to be able to have elders here to be able to make the decisions that are needed to be made. We're so blessed to be able to have this building purchased. We ask you that we can continue to be encouraged to one another, to continue to grow spiritually and to try to do as much as we can with these new resources. Help us to put you first in our decisions. Help us to make wise decisions each and every day. Help us to put our faith and trust in you and never lose sight. And just leave it as we pray.